From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, I'm Mark Magnuson, and welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. In today's show, Dustin is joined by Senator Joni Ernst to speak about government accountability. Russ speaks with Eamon Flood of Sound Ag to discuss the product's source. And Andy and Dustin discuss the potential for another one-year extension of the Farm Bill. It's time now to welcome our hosts, Dustin Huffman and Andy Peterson.
Yeah, Mark, let's get going here on a Thursday. Dustin, it's interesting. I've gotten several notifications here in eastern Iowa from grain end users that cash corn is around $4.50. So that's a bit of improvement from just a couple of weeks ago when those first numbers were starting to be threes around the state.
Yeah, when we, like we said, you know, with the switch coming over to the May contracts, it's we expected that to change a little bit. But, you know, there has been, it's been really this last week or so has been tough to get a handle on it because there's movement up and down, you know, a few cents here and there, which is normal with any marketplace. But usually we can see a trend start to establish in the basis. And we know we're only in the first full week or so of everybody switching over to the May contract. So it's interesting to see, you know, what they're going to establish for a trend. Of course, though, the markets, as they've made the switch to the May markets, haven't really given us a trend one way or the other. We're seeing a very positive start to the day, but, you know, we all know that that doesn't always necessarily hang on. And in fact, Eric Ralph of Comstock Investments standing by right now with Mark Magnuson. They're going to go through what is moving that market here with the grains.
Joined today by Eric Ralph of Comstock for our opening market discussion. Eric, what's taking place in the grains?
Well, actually kind of a bright spot in the overnight trade. You know, here in the break, corn up 6 cents, beans up 12. Wheat a little positive as well after just taking a lashing yesterday. You got KC up 12, Chicago up 5. So, you know, definitely a good feel to the morning here, but we're also kind of prepping for WASDE report tomorrow. That's the more important one, crop production, kind of a moot point this time of year. Export sales come out this morning and impressive in corn, and maybe the most surprising piece of it was it's fairly impressive for beans. We actually beat the top end of the range of trade expectations for the weekly export sales in soybeans. First time we've done that in quite some time. Meal had a huge week in the export market last week. Didn't see that again this week, but that's to be expected following the big numbers we saw last week. Soybean oil had a really nice week, which we haven't seen for quite a while. So there are some things to hang your hat on in the grains. And of course, with the weakness that we've seen over the past several weeks and making those lows, technically, it looks a little better as well. So maybe we'll put something together here.
Eric, I'm not sure I would have thought you would have used the word impressive for the corn and soybean export sales numbers because it's been so paltry lately. So what's kind of been driving that?
Well, at some point, low prices cure low prices. And I think we've finally gotten to a point where we're starting to see a little more interest in U.S. origin grain, although China's still buying large quantities from other sources. You know, you talk about their Canadian canola purchases, Ukrainian corn purchases, Brazilian soybean purchases. Those are the big ticket items, and we've been hearing about that nonstop. And none of that is business here, right? But we are getting enough of these smaller sales to add up on a weekly total. You only saw one daily flash sale last week of corn to Taiwan, and then a nice daily flash sale of meal to unknown destination. So the numbers are low enough where we should be piquing some interest around the globe, but we're still not competitive in some of these markets where you've got the likes of Russia undercutting the world. They've dropped $25 a ton in the past 30 days. They've gone from $225 a ton to $200 a ton for wheat. And they're just, it's like a fire sale. And it's hard for anyone to buy anywhere else when they're putting prices out like that.
And on Friday, we get the next WASDE report. What are you looking forward to learning in that report?
Well, is the USDA going to make a real adjustment to the Brazilian production number? That's going to be what everyone is looking at the hardest. That's going to be the most scrutinized number initially when that report comes out. And if the USDA is making some kind of meaningful adjustment lower to their production estimate, then maybe we keep this market supported and we can keep some upward momentum. But if we see the USDA do what they did last time, where they reduce a million metric tons, that's not going to be enough to move the needle. And that would be actually quite bearish at this point. So the Brazilian soybean production number is by far and away going to be the most widely watched and heavily scrutinized.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing more from Eric Ralph of Comstock Investments later on in the program talking about livestock. But right now, Andy Peterson standing by with his three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
The biggest yet, support for cover crops across the state of Iowa. Farmers for Soil Health has announced a $50 per acre benefit. Jill Webker is conservation agronomist with the Iowa Soybean Association, a partner with Farmers for Soil Health, who says Iowa is leading the way. And if you aren't involved, you're missing out.
This morning had a little update in a meeting and mentioned that the state of Iowa is responsible for 39% of the acres already enrolled in this project.
IASoybeans.com is where you find out more information.
Number two.
The dryness continues across the state of Iowa despite some rain here in the past week, according to the latest drought monitor out from the University of Nebraska, Lincoln, and USDA. It shows that over 99% of the state is in some form of drought, with the most severe designation in the state, that D3 designation, encompassing about 20% of key corn growing areas in northeastern Iowa.
Number one.
Part of the effort to expand market transparency and price discovery for Iowa cattle producers has been an update to the Packers and Stockyards Act, which is finally finalized, according to Iowa Senator Charles Grassley, who says the new rule should help to clarify the standards the original law included for protection of producers.
I remember a year ago when we were working so hard on the Grassley-Fisher tester bill on cutting down on the domination of the big four packers. I remember some Iowa cattlemen telling me that they got word from some packer that said, well, if you don't take our offer today, don't bother to call me or we're never going to take your cattle again. So that sort of authoritative approach to doing business will now clearly be prohibited by these regulations, but I think, quite frankly, they were probably prohibited by the law.
Enforcement of it, he believes, will follow. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
If you thought soybeans were only used for tofu, think again. From tires and adhesives to next-generation asphalt, soy is used to create over 1,000 industrial products and counting. Thanks to your soy checkoff investment, the sky's the limit for Iowa soybean farmers. Oh, and speaking of skies, did I mention soy is also used in sustainable aviation fuel? The Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soy Checkoff, is driven to deliver for Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers. Learn more at iasoybeans.com.
Well, we talked quite a bit about the farm bill, but a lot of worry concerning it was noticed down at Commodity Classic and in the weeks preceding it. We'll talk more about it coming up next on Iowa Ag Matters. Well, welcome back to Iowa Ag Matters. And Andy, you know, we were just talking about here at the end of the first segment, you know, a lot of talk has been going into the farm bill, obviously with the one-year extension, which is not what we wanted to see because it's based off of old data, but also the fact that the requirements for even the nutrition titles, everything is being, you know, worked off of old data. And, you know, we've long heard, you know, from Senator Grassley always saying that we're never more than three meals away from revolution. Used to talk a lot with, you know, former House Ag Committee Chairman Colin Peterson, when he would say that, you know, it used to be that the farm bill was the biggest no-brainer for food and agriculture because we needed them for sustaining daily life. But he always was kind of worried that there could come a day where the politics would start to use food as a weapon. And it's really starting to concern farmers for the production side of it. It's concerning people who rely on those nutrition titles to get access to food. I mean, it's just seeming more and more that the farm bill has become a roadblock on getting a lot of things done in both the House and the Senate. And quite frankly, it seems a shame that we're using food as that weapon to hold up other progress in our government.
Yeah, there's more things that need to be done. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And the only thing that happens with delays is that, you know, nothing does get done on that or other necessary items. So I kind of thought the same thing as far as, wait a second here with some of these headlines. There's seven more months to go, right?
Right.
There's a lot of stuff that's going to happen before we just kind of throw in the towel on that. But it certainly also leads to uncertainty in agriculture, of course, surrounding some of those safety net programs. You know what else is uncertain right now? Is insurance costs. Did you see that one of the major insurers registered for a 40% increase coming this summer. I mean, and there are a lot of legitimate reasons for it that we can talk about as well. And some of them, of course, just relate to how much things have legitimately changed. You know, for example, if on car insurance, mirror gets taken off, right? A quote unquote fender bender. Well, a mirror in a lot of cases just isn't a mirror anymore. There may be two of them in there. The housing has a light on it. There may be a camera there, a sensor. And so the cost of what's being insured goes up, but also just the weather. Temptation, of course, to tie it back to the derecho, but it's more than that. Last year was a record year in terms of weather damage to properties. And of course, we know material costs are higher, so it's a reaction of companies passing those costs down to the consumer. But at the same time, when commodity prices are $2+ lower, Dustin, it's becoming more difficult to make it affordable. I don't think there's any question about that.
Well, no, absolutely not. And, you know, that was another thing we heard a lot from the Iowa farmers that were down there at Commodity Classic, and quite frankly, from a lot of the ag companies, you know, that were even concerned about it. Because like I said, if the farmer has no certainty, has no foundation to build for this year on, you know, it makes it tough. And, you know, like you said, we like to call back to the derecho, but even the year before that, when we had such bad flooding that we were weeks and almost months behind, or you know, multiple weeks behind on getting planting done. I mean, once you miss those deadlines, that gets crop insurance involved as well, and to what level of coverage you're able to get. And so there are so many things that are needing to be addressed in this farm bill. And of course, updated data is the key to it. And we talked for 2.5 years that this was going to be done early so they wouldn't have to, so they could avoid this. And now we're looking at a year extension. We're looking at possibly another year extension. And like we said, a full 7 months, and they don't need to be thrown in the towel quite yet.
Yeah, no, they certainly don't. So we'll keep you updated on the insurance conversation as well as the farm bill here on your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture.
If you thought soybeans were only used for tofu, think again. From tires and adhesives to next-generation asphalt, soy is used to create over 1,000 industrial products and counting. Thanks to your soy checkoff investment, the sky's the limit for Iowa soybean farmers. Oh, and speaking of skies, did I mention soy is also used in sustainable aviation fuel? The Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soy Checkoff, is driven to deliver for Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers. Learn more at iasoybeans.com.
Oh, we mentioned it earlier. What are cash prices doing around the state? Well, in some cases, we're getting close to 450. Dustin Hoffman has the latest look coming up on your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture. This is Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, it's time to run down those elevator prices for you here on Iowa Ag Matters, and we do have a change in some of the announcements we've been making coming up here at the end, so make sure you are staying tuned for that. Starting at ADM Burlington, they're a dime under on corn, cash bid $4.26, soybeans a nickel under at $11.56. Cargill and Eddyville, 15 cents under on corn, $4.21. New Co-op Algona, 20 cents under on corn, $4.16. Soybeans 60 cents under with a cash bid $11.01. Ag State Sheldon, 4 cents over on corn, $4.40 for the bid, 73 cents under on soybeans, $10.88. Ag State Alta, 21 cents under on corn, $4.15, soybeans, 67 cents under at $10.94. Cargill and Cedar Rapids, they're even today on corn at $4.36, soybeans a nickel under with a cash bid at $11.56. Nexus Co-op, Marble Rock, a nickel under on corn, $4.31, soybeans, 50 cents under at $11.11. Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, they're a dime under on corn, cash bid today $4.26. ADM Des Moines, they're 12 cents under on soybeans with a cash bid at $11.49. At New Co-op Red Oak, they're 20 cents under on corn at $4.16, soybeans 50 cents under at $11.11. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, 35 cents under on corn at $4.01, soybeans are 55 cents under at $11.06. New Co-op Sheraton, 35 cents under on corn, $4.01, soybeans 55 cents under at $11.06. Walk-On Feed Ranch, 24 cents under on corn, $4.12, soybeans 45 cents under at $11.16. New Co-op Glidden, 20 cents under on corn, cash bid $4.16, soybeans 50 cents under at $11.11. Innovative Ag Services Farley, 20 cents under on corn, $4.16, soybeans 41 cents under, they're at $11.20. And Cargill Muscatine, change in their announcements, the river is open, they will reopen the terminal coming up on March 11th. Cash, corn, and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. And that's been a look at your basis numbers here on Iowa Ag Matters.
If you thought soybeans were only used for tofu, think again. From tires and adhesives to next-generation asphalt, soy is used to create over 1,000 industrial products and counting. Thanks to your soy checkoff investment, the sky's the limit for Iowa soybean farmers. Oh, and speaking of skies, did I mention soy is also used in sustainable aviation fuel? The Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soy Checkoff, is driven to deliver for Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers. Learn more at iasoybeans.com.
We got more market information still to come, including some livestock analysis and a complete rundown of the grain and livestock midday numbers. Don't forget, you can get free market analysis sent right to your phone through the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network marketing podcasts. They're available on Amazon, Apple, Google, Spotify, and Podbean. More Iowa Ag Matters still to come from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, talking about the farm bill, getting things done, continuing the business of the people. Some of that will be simply a result of holding the government accountable, which is a conversation that Iowa Senator Joni Ernst has been involved in here this past week, and specifically here on Iowa Ag Matters, as she sits down for part two of the conversation right now with Dustin Hoffman.
So we know that last week you had the chance to talk with Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack as he appeared there before the Senate and talk about some of the concerns we have for as agricultural producers and in the industry as a whole. And tell us a little bit about some of how that discussion went, if you would.
Oh, it was really interesting. And I'm very grateful that our secretary was in front of us for the Ag Committee. As Iowans know, both Senator Grassley and I serve on the Agricultural Committee. We've been working on the Farm Bill, so it was really important that Secretary Vilsack was there. There were a few points that I made that I felt were really important for Iowans. Number one is that we need to be working on the Farm Bill. And I'm really discouraged that we seem to be kicking the can down the road instead of providing a level of certainty for our Iowa farmers. Not long ago, Secretary Vilsack was with our ag chairwoman, Debbie Stabenow, and they seemed to agree that having the one-year extension was okay, and maybe we just keep doing that rather than having a farm bill. I disagree. I think the one-year extension was necessary, but I know our farmers would much rather have a farm bill in place. I also made the point that most of the farm bill is actually focused on a lot of other priorities outside of farming. Only about 14% of this $1.5 trillion bill goes to farm programs. So we talked about that just very briefly. I went on to talk about E15 year round, which we had heard recently the Biden administration has approved that through the EPA. So we will see E15 sales all year round, but starting in 2025. So we are seeking another emergency waiver yet once again in this administration. So I asked him about that and whether he felt confident that we would get that emergency waiver. And he said he did feel confident that the Biden administration would give that waiver. So that is a good start. But then I wrapped up as well, talking about a report that came out not too long ago from the Government Accountability Office. Now, they went through all of the departments in our federal government. And what they discovered is that in the 4 years following COVID-19, the pandemic, we have not seen federal employees return to their workspaces. So in particular with USDA, and mind you, it was shut down temporarily during COVID-19. We are 4 years post-pandemic now, and the USDA is one of the worst offenders. Only 11% of their office space is currently utilized on a daily basis. Now, the secretary really pushed back on that. He made the insinuation that I don't think his employees are working hard. That's not at all accurate. It was a way for him to deflect what an independent agency of the federal government has discovered is that only 11%, and this is a recent report, only 11% of the USDA physical office space is being utilized on a daily basis. So I understand that there are ways to telework, but we also had an anonymous letter that came from a USDA employee that basically stated on a daily basis, there are calls that are not being returned. Collaboration is not happening in the workplace. So there are a lot of things that are falling by the wayside at USDA because employees are not working together. So it's a mission of mine, whether you're teleworking or not. If we are not going to utilize federal government space, we need to get rid of that space. We pay a lot of taxpayer dollars, making sure that we pay the maintenance, we keep up utilities, all of that in spaces that are not being used.
Well, we thank Senator Ernst for joining us here once again on Iowa Ag Matters. Andy Peterson's ready to go with the three big Iowa Ag Matters right now.
Number three.
The dryness continues across the state of Iowa despite some rain here in the past week, according to the latest drought monitor out from the University of Nebraska, Lincoln, and USDA. It shows that over 99% of the state is in some form of drought, with the most severe designation in the state, that D3 designation, encompassing about 20% of key corn growing areas in northeastern Iowa.
Number two.
A job well done by Dr. Paul Sundberg, who was honored at the National Pork Industry Forum for his career-long dedication to bettering the pork industry. Dr. Sundberg recently retired as the first executive director of the Swine Health Information Center when it was developed with pork checkoff funds back in 2015. Pat McGonigal, CEO of the Iowa Pork Producers Association, says pig farmers in Iowa congratulate, quote, Dr. Sundberg for receiving this award and appreciate his continued dedication to improving swine health. The Distinguished Service Award is a fitting tribute to Dr. Sundberg's extensive career and contributions to the betterment of the U.S. pork industry. And those of us at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network certainly extend our personal thanks to Paul for all of his support over the years.
Number one.
The biggest yet, support for cover crops across the state of Iowa. Farmers for Soil Health has announced a $50 per acre benefit. Joe Webker is conservation agronomist with the Iowa Soybean Association, a partner with Farmers for Soil Health, who says Iowa is leading the way. And if you aren't involved, you're missing out.
This morning had a little update in a meeting and mentioned that the state of Iowa is responsible for 39% of the acres already enrolled in this project.
IASoybeans.com is where you find out more information. I'm Edie Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
If you thought soybeans were only used for tofu, think again. From tires and adhesives to next-generation asphalt, soy is used to create over 1,000 industrial products and counting. Thanks to your soy checkoff investment, the sky's the limit for Iowa soybean farmers. Oh, and speaking of skies, did I mention soy is also used in sustainable aviation fuel? The Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soy Checkoff, is driven to deliver for Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers. Learn more at iasoybeans.com.
Well, we started off the day with some great numbers. Were we able to hold on to those? Andy and Mark are going to take a look at what's going on at midday here with those grain and livestock markets on Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network's Iowa Ag Matters, online at iowaagnet.com. We'll be more right after this.
This is the Midday Market Update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson. Joined today by John Heinberg of Total Farm Marketing for our Midday Market discussion. John, what are we seeing in the grains today?
Well, we got a really good day going in the grain market here with strong gains across the board for corn and soybeans, as well as some recovery in that wheat market today. So let's go touch on that bean market first. That's where the most strength is. We got, you know, double-digit gains here trading, you know, 12, 13, 14 cents higher in the front of the market. Couple things. First off, USDA report coming out tomorrow. You know, we'll see what the USDA does with those South American numbers. Not a expecting a whole lot of changes. They'll marginally move that Brazil crop down probably to meet where the analyst expectations are. But again, like I said, not expecting anything big there. But we are kind of watching what's going on, the premiums within Brazil alone. We're starting to see the value of their beans go up. In other words, that means there's a little bit more demand. Maybe the supply is not there. That big gap between U.S. and Brazil is narrowing. And I think that's allowed a little bit of money flow to come into the soybean market. Plus, on top of that, solid week of export sales. You know, we're over 600,000 tons this week. That was actually a little bit above the high end of expectations there. So we got a little bit of friendly news in that regard. Move that over into the corn market as well. Good move there today. We kind of had to get through last week's high in that May contract. That was 434, and we saw a pop and some short covering. Now we got some resistance here around this 440 area. We'll see if we can get through that, but probably an opportunity to get to see some corn bushels maybe moving as guys been maybe waiting for a 30-cent rally here.
That was John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing. Here's Andy Peterson with more livestock news.
Beef First, Mark, as always, daily estimated slaughter total numbers, 124,000 head of cattle. That's 1,000 less than a week ago and a year ago. Boxes are pretty quiet here at midday, just a little bit stronger on 64 loads of choice cut selling. 12 cents higher, 304.91. Select up 22 cents, 295.0918. Load selling there, and that spread remains below 10 bucks at 982. As far as pork goes, daily estimated slaughter total numbers coming in at 488,000 head. It's 4,000 less than a week ago, and yet 9,000 more than a year ago. As far as the cash prices go, let's wrap up yesterday's numbers for comparison purposes. Barrels and gilts, producers sold on a carcass basis, negotiated purchase-wise. A big day, almost 9,400 head of sales. Market sharply higher, up $1.59, so off the day's highs, but still a respectable increase. Weighted average price, $76.22. Formula purchases, about 152,000 head, with the weighted average price, $79.69. So that market actually closed about 25 cents weaker. As far as what's happening today, a good run again of negotiated purchases, 4,800 head and some change. The weighted average price is up 93 cents again at $77.29. As far as formula purchases go, weighted average price coming in at $80.14, so we're 35 cents higher on 113,000 head of sales.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click on the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate goes directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
At midday, May corn is up 8 3/4 at 437.5. May soybeans up 15 1/4 at 1163.5. On the Merck, April live cattle up 77 cents at 188.02. April feeder cattle down 67 cents at 255.20. April lean hogs down 30 cents at 84.70. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
Well, we continue the livestock conversation here on Iowa Ag Matters, or I should say the market conversation, focusing on livestock as Mark visits with Eric Ralph from Constock.
On the other side of the ag marketplace, what's happening in the protein sector?
Cattle are struggling this week. You've seen some nice days, you've seen some bad days, but the cattle market is generally in a little bit of a struggle here. And that's, you know, we're at lofty levels. We're having trouble adding any value to the cash. I would say the biggest bright spot that we've seen of late is box beef cutout. You're looking at choice boxes sustaining above 300 for the first time in history. You've seen it poke 300 a time or two, but now, you know, we're multiple weeks above 300 and holding that level. So, you know, the beef prices are still there. That has waned demand a little bit, but that's what the packers wanted. They wanted to be able to slow these chain speeds and keep the kill numbers down a little bit, because we all know where we're headed as far as harvestable cattle. And the numbers are continuing to get lighter. So we've got to make some kind of adjustment. So you've got to wane demand a little bit. You've got to increase imports a little bit. You've got to cut back on exports. There's a lot of ways to feather the throttle, so to speak, and they're doing all of them. Of course, one of the big stories over the past week and really started last week was the fires in Texas and Oklahoma. And how much impact is that going to have? Well, it's probably not going to be huge. But the thing to keep in mind about that is, when you're talking about pasture cattle in February, they're cows and they're replacement heifers. And, you know, this just adds to numbers that have been astronomically high for kill cows and slaughter cows. We've been taking out the mamas, and that's going to be hard to recover from.
Eric, with the hogs right now, it does seem like better footing overall, but do you kind of agree that this is a much better spot for the hogs than even what we saw just a very short time ago?
Oh, yeah, much better. And, you know, it's understandable when you're pushing June, July, August, you're pushing those contracts up into the 103, 104 range. You're going to run into hedge pressure, especially when you've got a market that's just grossly overbought. And that was the case in the hogs. When you looked at the charts, especially in the summer months, you've got oscillators indicating, you know, we need to take a break. And that's about the time you would start to see hedge pressure. The market will stall out a little bit and they'll decide at that point, okay, these are profitable levels, let's lock something up. Then you see some kind of a retreat, and here we sit after a couple days lower. Now, are we going to continue to go lower? That's a coin flip. Cash was impressive yesterday, so it really could go either way for the coming couple of sessions. But, you know, I guess I wouldn't be surprised to see the hogs take a little bit of a breather here before maybe continuing an upward move based on some of the other stories we're hearing about disease and lack of availability for wiener pigs and some of those things.
Eric Ralph of Comstock, our guest here today. Eric, what's the best way for our listeners to get in touch for more marketing information?
Well, you can find us on all the social media platforms. You can check out the Comstock channel on YouTube. You can go to our website at comstock.com or just give us a call at 712-227-1110.
Now that the calendar shows March, prep for the 2024 planting season is well upon us. And we'd like to remind you of a few extra steps to help reduce the safety risk during the heat of that planting season. There's the obvious. Make sure all that safety equipment is in proper working order as part of your routine preparations. But also try to rest up, as chronic fatigue can have the same effect on your body as drugs and alcohol, and slowed reaction times can be dangerous. This message, furnished by the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, we got more coming up here to wrap up the show on Iowa Ag Matters, including a talk with the folks at Sound Ag. So stay with us.
Well, there's a lot of conversation, no doubt, around enhancements, nitrogen use efficiency, plant science, so to speak, in stretching our resources a little bit further on final end yield. And Russ Parker, our special correspondent at Commodity Classic, Eamon Flood of Sound Agriculture, to continue that discussion.
What's new at Sound Ag? We know a little bit about Source, but let's maybe get an update on what's going on with that and maybe a peek into the future.
Yeah, so the big thing for us right now is we've just crunched all of the numbers from last season and how the performance for the product work. And one thing that we're really in particular focused on is synthetic fertilizer and really trying to optimize how farms are thinking about using that. And what we tend to do when farms are looking at our product Source, right, because there's two ways you can use it. And it's based on what a farm's nitrogen use efficiency is. If it's below 0.95, then typically we'll recommend that they can just add Source as part of their existing nutrient management plan. That'll help add bushels, maximize ROI. If a farm is less efficient on their NUE or on their nutrient efficiency, so they're above 0.95, in many instances, in order to maximize return on investment of our product, and then also just profitability overall for that acre, we would, in many cases, recommend that they reduce up to 25 pounds of nitrogen and phosphorus to offset and then replace that with Source. And what we tend to see is you're decreasing your input costs but maintaining yield. And in some cases, they're also adding yield in addition to, you know, reducing input costs. And then, obviously, there's the environmental stewardship aspect of that, right? That's good for the environment. It's good for the farm. It's good for the farm's profitability. We're really trying to help farms optimize that and really maximize the return on investment in their nutrient management plan by using products like Source, but there's also other products that are out there, right? I mean, I think there's a lot of noise, I think, from in the space of biologicals, nutrient use efficiency. You know, Source isn't a biological, we're a chemistry, but we're sort of lumped into that. And I think one of the challenges farmers have right now is which ones do I try? None of them are a silver bullet. You sort of have to think of it as a more holistic soil health strategy, but products like Source, some of these other biologicals, you're mixing that in with the existing nutrient management plan. There's a lot that farmers can do, I think, to maximize yield, but then also reduce input costs and hopefully drive more profitability. But it's really just kind of sorting through that, cutting through the noise. And so we're doing a lot right now of testing our product in different environments, but then also with other types of nitrogen use efficiency products that are out there. And so ahead for next season, we'll probably come out with some potential some potential solutions that would be packaged together with Source. We're looking into that. We're looking into some more formulations, which would be a little bit further into the future because that's intellectual property that we're developing in-house. So we're thinking about the pipeline, but we're also, looking at it in terms of short-term, what can we do to help producers now with some of these products, including ours, but then also how can we continue to innovate ourselves and into the future.
So if a grower wants to start exploring a little bit, where's the first step in that process?
The first step, I think, would be to talk to, if you have a trusted advisor about these types of products, biologicals or just nutrient use efficiency in general, what are your plans for this upcoming season? I think there's still a little bit of indecision because of commodity markets and things like that, but I think just leaning on those trusted experts and those people, those subject matter experts that farms rely on, first and foremost, talk to them and ask them about sound agriculture, ask them about Source. If they haven't heard about it, check us out on our website, www.sound.ag. We can either work with farms directly if there's not a dealer that we have in their area, and then obviously if we have a local dealer, we'll connect them with that person, and they can obviously learn more about the product. I think with this type of stuff or with these types of products, it's really important to have a sense of how is it performing locally, but then also what are some of the different ways that dealers or that we're talking with customers about it, how to think about using this product, because there might be some new different ideas from other parts of the country that could apply in a place like Iowa. And the thing that we're very conscious of is these are new products. There is a perceived risk, and so we guarantee all of it.
It's March. Even though for the most part this winter has been overly mild, there's still nothing quite like the excitement of planting season and new life and growth right around the corner. It's exhilarating. It's exciting. It's fun. It can be breathtaking and also be a very dangerous time of year. Hi there, Andy Peterson, the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, with a quick reminder of a few things we can do to help reduce that risk during the very busy planting season, like thoroughly inspecting all equipment before going to fields. Try to rest up, as chronic fatigue can have the same effect on your body as drugs and alcohol, and slowed reaction times can be the difference sometimes between life or death. Planting season is a sprint, yet it's also important to do it right and be cognizant of what's happening around you and come home safely to your families each and every evening. We want to be around to have our discussions about the growing season after planting season has concluded. This message brought to you by your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, it's been another busy day here on Iowa Ag Matters, and thanks to everybody for tuning in again today. And of course, thanks to Mark and Riley and Andy for helping get this show going for another day. Hard to believe we only got one more episode to the end of the week again, and we look forward to spending that Friday with you coming up tomorrow here on Iowa Ag Matters from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Have a great day.